Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are addressing some questions and hopefully giving some good answers to some situations and topics and questions that come up during the past week and sometimes a cumulative effect. We had talked about, in passing, the whole concept of fleecing. And so we want to follow up with that. That evidently is an area of interest. So we will be eventually covering that in depth in the series on Knowing God on Thursdays. And as always, we do cover it in our book series as well. So if you want to move more quickly or get more detailed, we're going to go through both fleecing and divine guidance quite quickly today, just because it does seem like so many people need to get a much better handle on how to hear from God in practical situations, in a very specific practical situation. So we want to give the overview as clearly as we can, and then if you need more information, we'll be covering it, like I said, in the series, but also you can get the books by going to the website wecanprepare.org and going under the store. In all three of the books, the series is available there. What we're going to be talking about is From Knowing God, because for us, one of the areas that God draws our attention or creates our need is in our desire to know how to make the right decision, what he wants us to do. And unfortunately, so many people, the only tool in their tool belt, the only weapon in their arsenal is fleecing. And even that is so misunderstood. So we're just going to start there. Now, fleecing is from the Old Testament, and what people have used it or misused it has really watered down expectations of how clearly God wants to speak to us. And when we talk about God speaking to us, first we want to put aside our expectations, our own personal beliefs, our own history, what we've been taught. Does what you've been taught work for the one that taught you? One of the problems we've all got is we've been learning from people, teachers and those in authority, things that can't be tested. Now, I have a science background, and the basis of science is that you come up with a hypothesis, and then the main work comes in testing the hypothesis. You come up with a formula, an approach, and then you actually test it and see if you can reproduce it. See if your hypothesis works, and then if it can be reproduced by others. Now, that doesn't always stand up to today's concept of science. Pretty much today it's, you know, if a scientist says it, it must be true and accurate, which is, you know, fallacious to think that we can conclude how the universe began or evolution or creation or any of this scientifically, because we cannot reproduce it. so it cannot be tested. So we're still all talking not merely about theories. There is, you can't have consensus about a theory. It's like we're all guessing the same thing. Okay, it's no more specific or clear than that. On any, you know, it takes more faith to believe in a scientific theory than it does to believe in the person of God. So we want to start and step back, be objective about the situation you're in. One thing I like to tell people is, if you were in a much better place than you're in, you know, when we're having to make a choice and when we're having to make a decision, we're, you know, in tough economic times, people are being laid off from jobs they've had for years, businesses are going under, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress. Generally speaking, that's not a good time to try to develop the ability to hear from God clearly. Now, God is gracious, and he speaks clearly. But very often, basically what we're talking about is you're in crisis mode. And God visits us when we're in crisis. But then he wants you to take that direction. And don't focus on the method you used, but focus on him. Recognize that there was a struggle to hear him clearly during a crisis, and that's an indicator that you're not hearing from him when you're not in crisis. So we start from the presupposition that you can hear him clearly every day of your life, and that he's speaking to you clearly every day of your life. So we start with the notion and the presupposition that God wants you to understand him, to hear him, to enjoy conversing with him. He's not a God afar off. He's not out there. Pull up a chair next to him. If you're driving, he's in the seat next to you. He's right there. And he's talking. He's communing with you. Your challenge is to be able to receive what he's saying in your soul. Again, you're receiving it in your spirit. So, fleecing. So many times, the only process that Christians have been instructed in receiving divine guidance from God is this whole notion of fleecing. Now, here's what people are told fleecing is, that if it's God's will for thus and so to happen, if you're meant to get this job, you'll get it. Or if you are supposed to move, your house will sell at the price you've asked for it, and you're supposed to take that as a sign. Or a lot of times we do things like, well, if I'm supposed to take this job, they'll offer me the you know, I've asked them for a huge salary, and they'll meet that. That means that's God's way of telling me I'm supposed to take this job. Or if, you know, the phone ringing or the person saying something. You know, and people even get married based on these kinds of signs from God. You know, that if we put the house up, if it sells within the next 4 weeks, it's a sign from God that we're supposed to move. Okay, let's cut that all right off. None of that is true. None of that is true. First of all, that's not fleecing. That's trying to manipulate God. Okay, now, God loves you. And God is trying to speak to you. Let's stop playing games. So let's start with what really is fleecing. Not what other people say fleecing is. But this may be kind of disappointing for some. But fleecing is the fairly common form of divine guidance through asking God to confirm his instruction by complying with a specific test. Lord, if you want me to do thus and so, the phone will ring in 10 minutes and it will be so-and-so saying such-and-such. So you just fill in the blanks, whatever your idea of fleecing is. And we go, well, it worked in the past. Well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. The whole point is can you reproduce it? Does it work every time? Is your faith now in fleecing, or is it in God? We want our faith, our confidence, our trust in God, not in the tactic. Now, the term fleecing is from the example of Gideon in Judges 6, in which Gideon asks the Lord to prove that it's him speaking and asks him to perform a miracle. Twice. First, overnight, he wanted the dew to fall on a fleece, a sheepskin, but not the ground, so that the ground would be dry, but the fleece wet. And God complied. That's what God did. So the sheepskin was wet, and the ground was dry. Then he asked for the reverse the following night. And God complied. The fleece was dry, but the ground was wet. But before we embrace fleecing as a desirable method of divine guidance, we need to review a few elements of these requests. Okay, let's look at the specifics of what's going on here. Now, this is fleecing. This is the example that we use for fleecing. Is this really what we are told today to do under fleecing, as described as fleecing? Now, this first detail is very important. When Gideon asked God to, basically, when he set out the fleece, Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do. Let me repeat that. When Gideon asked God to perform these miracles, he already knew exactly what God wanted him to do. These tests were not about needing direction or discernment, but encouragement. And God knew, clearly, he knew that Gideon needed encouragement. Now, Gideon had already had a couple of angelic visitations and had already done some pretty cool exploits. So Gideon knew it was God that was speaking and that God would honor his word to Gideon. So this was fleecing was not about direction. It was about encouragement. Second, the encouragement came in the form of a bona fide miracle. Something that could not have happened coincidentally or without the direct supernatural intervention of God. It wasn't a phone ringing. It wasn't a house selling. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a miracle. There was nothing about it left up to chance or to guess. Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do, and his requirement for that encouragement was so high that only God could fulfill it. So it's not at all what we face today. We say, well, God, if I'm supposed to take that job I've been offered, the house will sell in the next 5 days, and then I'll know you want me to take that job in that other state. And then the house sells, and we say, well, this must be what God wanted me to do. And then we move, and then it turns out that that wasn't God, what God wanted us to do. And then we ask him, and he says, well, I never told you to move. And we say, well, the house sold. Well, so what? So coincidence and fleecing are two mutually exclusive concepts. Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do, and the encouragement came in the form of a bona fide miracle. Only God could do it. Third, Gideon was not presumptuous in telling God that he needed encouragement, but in how to encourage him. It is a testament to God's love for Gideon that he complied with these tests. This was not an encouragement of Gideon's wisdom. When we look at what we ask God to do, we are so often presuming on his good nature. And you know what? That's okay with God. He's patient with us. He knows where we're coming from. He knows what we need. But when we're in these crisis situations, specifically and especially, just because this is something a lot of Christians do, don't think it's from God. There's a reason there are so many different bodies and fellowships. It's not because everybody's rallying around God. It's because everybody's rallying around an idea, or sometimes a person. Sometimes it's just geography. Whatever church or fellowship is closest to where you live, that's where you attend. But it is up to you to hear from God for you. He's a person. He's right there. He speaks clearly, and you can hear him clearly. So our goal is not to learn what techniques work best to get God to guide us, but to recognize that our God-given need for his direction is used by him to foster, to encourage our dependence on him. So we acknowledge and submit to his sovereignty, knowing that he loves us, has met our needs, and is working on our behalf, and that we have agreed to this work. And we allow him to encourage us and strengthen us according to his good pleasure in whatever situation or circumstance you're in. Remember, as a spirit, you have authority over the supernatural realm and over the natural realm. If we are learning to rule and reign here, now, on this earth, including over time, we begin to see things from God's perspective. And we learn to see that he is so big that he is spending every moment, every second of every minute of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, doing nothing but sitting around and arranging every single circumstance in your life. Not to make it easy for you, but to bring you into greater dependence on Him. Now that brings us into freedom, because He sets us free from our misbeliefs, from our flesh, and from our wounds. But it's not about being independent of God and trying harder and being stronger. It's about dependence on Him and letting His eternal life that we've already received in our spirit flow through our soul and even into our body and beyond. When we think about the impact Jesus had in such a short period of time, in such a short, small area, geographically speaking, He really didn't travel that far at all. But what was it that He had that drew people to Him? It wasn't the charisma. It wasn't that He was a great speaker or that He was an attractive person. Certainly it wasn't His pedigree, His education, or His mastery of the teachings of the time. He says it Himself. He learned of the Father. He depended on the Father. He acted on what He learned. What invigorated Jesus to be able to turn the world upside down is available for you and I right now, and even more. Because when Jesus was here, we have three enemies. He overcame two of them 2,000 years ago. We only have one to deal with. Now those enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. 2,000 years ago, He defeated the devil and all his critters, all his buds. He defeated the world system. He overcame it. But because He never let wounds fester, He went to the Lord, He went to His Father to get healed. He never had any misbeliefs. He never believed lies because He knew His Father. So Jesus never developed flesh. He never had a self life. That's our enemy that we as individuals have to learn to overcome. We don't overcome it in the strength of our own understanding or activity or emotional passion. We overcome it by depending on God. As your soul comes into its rightful place with your spirit, in subjection to your spirit, your wounds are healed. The lies that you've been believing are exposed and overwhelmed with the truth. And you are set free. Free to be that unique person that God created you to be. Now, odds are there are things about you that you don't like. And it's also likely that at least some of those are characteristics that God gave you and He's not going to change. Our purpose here is not to have an easy life. It's to learn to rule and reign. You're already in God's family. You are a son of God. Once you're born into that position, it's not something you have to choose every morning when you get up. Okay, I'm going to be in the family of God today. I'm going to be a joint heir. I'm going to be a co-inheritor. Your very identity, your nature has been changed. We have to learn how to live like one. You have never existed on this earth before as the individual that you are. You have to learn how to depend on God. And these are the challenges we have. But once we start experiencing and tasting and knowing God, He stirs up a desire that cannot be satisfied by anything else that religion or people or relationships or things or control will satisfy. So one of the ways He does that is by putting us in situations where we need direction. We don't know which way to go. And even things that we think we know where to go, we learn to hold all things gently with an awareness that even though we may think exactly this is the direction God wants us to go, that we still want to be open to correction. A lot of times we think, and correction is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. We correct our course. We're monitoring our course. We want to be able to correct it just by shifting a little to the left rather than find we're 10 miles or 100 miles or 1,000 miles, we're in the wrong state altogether. And it's not a matter of being so caught up and distracted by what we're doing, but by having that awareness quickened in us, by spending a lot of time with Him, by depending on Him, by having heard His voice, and being sensitive to any changes that He may express. And this is, again, so personal. And He has His ways of dealing with each one of us. And it's going to be different for each one of us. And it can even be different moment by moment. The way He may guide you in making a decision about in one day, tomorrow, He may want you to try something totally different. Because His goal is not that you make the correct decision. You're free to make a mistake. It doesn't really matter whether you took the wrong job. What He wants us to draw from our making the right decisions and making the wrong decisions are we depending on Him? Or are we trying to do things ourselves? Divine guidance. That's really all, what we want. We want someone to tell us, to come in, tell us what to do, to make the road straight, to make it easy. But as a believer, your spirit is already in full participation with the full will of God. And therefore, your spirit, who you truly are, you have the confidence and assurance of God's loving kindness toward you. So your spirit does not need guidance. Who you truly are already knows what decision you've made. Remember, your spirit is not subject to time. Time is an earthly thing, a natural realm thing. It is our soul and our body that need direction. This is not a choosing to do the will of God, but finding our connection more and more with the will of God that we are already experiencing in the spirit realm. So we'll, again, be spending more time on Thursdays when we get to this part of our series. But if you want to move ahead, visit us at wecanprepare.org.
it's all covered, at least to some extent, in knowing God. If you've got any other questions, feel free to drop me a line at diane@weconprepare.org. Depend on God. He is leading you. He is guiding you. It just may not be the same goal that he has. His goal is not to make things easy. He's not all that concerned about you making the right decision. His goal, his desire for you is, are you depending on him? So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.